also most of our book teaches.
All right, Harif, so we're continuing the Tzur Merabanon. We're in Choveret Esrimacha 21, talking about tonight the Kiddush of Kriyashma. So in the handout, we're in the middle. It's we'll start tonight number 25. Last week we discussed the issue, we ended discussing the issue of Libo Roa Es Ha'erva and the separation that's required between the upper and lower parts of the body. And it's not just a physical separation, of course, but it means a person has to, he can't have any consciousness of his private parts while davening, so that is what induces the separation. What's a belt or pants, etc., but that's what does it. Now, Chacham Ovadia 25 and Yalkut Yosef continues on a related point. Also, Likro Kriyashma Oluspalel Oluvarech Bracha Velomer Kaldovashe Begdusha Olilma Bedivrei Tor Kishu Arum. Person is not allowed to read Kriyashma or Davin or say a Bracha or answer any Davashe Begdusha or even learn when he's nude. Kol Shalibo Ro Esa Erva, as we defined it. Velo Dai B'Mashe Mechase Es Gufo. It's not enough that he's covered, meaning if a person is completely naked but puts a robe around him or a towel or a blanket, that wouldn't suffice because there's no separation between the upper and lower parts of the body. Nor can he do this V'chen Keneged Chavero Shu Orum. Nor could he do any of those things in the presence of a friend who's also naked. Mishum Shenemar V'lo Yere B'chor V'astavar. You can't see any type of nakedness. Ulam calls it b'ofan shumotzi b'svasov. This is only when he's actually verbalizing all the above, where it's Kriyat Shema or Talmud Torah. But avolit rak mahar hebridivrei tar mutar. If he's just thinking and learning, then he's allowed to do that. Shadarshu chazal v'daber davar loshon dibur. Dibur also hir mutar. See, chazal distinguished, that's in terms of Shabbos, distinguished between speaking, verbalization, and thought. All right, like in context, it means v'daber davar, your speech on Shabbos cannot be the same as it is during the week. But speech, yes, you can control your speech. Hirhur, thinking about something, contemplating something, is much more difficult to control. So there we say hirhur is mutar. That brings in a tremendous heter. I never thought of this. I can't say I would do it myself. Lefichach, hamisrachetz bambat yoprotis. A person who's bathing in a private bath, mutul hachnis tape, lishma divrei kedusha. He could bring a tape in, listen to divrei kedusha. It's a chazan, a shir. Strange. Afal pishu omed oru misrachetz. Even though he's standing naked and he's bathing. Why? Because hirhur is mutter. He can't speak in divrei Torah, but he can think in divrei Torah, says Chacham Ovadia. Uvishosh shomea divrei kedusha mahar bahem to hear her love kedibur dummy. Hear her is not like speech, so therefore be permissible. Tell Jackie what we just said. It's hard to believe.
What about Kriyas Shema? If you don't say any words, you don't move your lips, you just go through the words.
Oh, it says you Yotze. You may not be Yotze. Well, right.
That's what I'm asking.
Right.
Are you Yotze?
Let's put it like this. L'chanchilo, you're not Yotzei. There may be circumstances where you have no choice, and then you will be Yotzei as well. All right. But l'chanchilo, for sure, you have to be mashmiel lo ozno. You have to hear it. You have to hear what you say. Hirhur is the exact opposite of that. There's no enunciation. So, hirhur definitely is not preferable for Kriyat Shema. According to some, will be no good, but there are situations where we'll see it will be permissible as well. In any event, this din of the ambacha, a person taking a bath or a shower is listening to a shir or chazonim, so that just generates hirhur. Hirhur is lavka dibur, therefore should be mutter, with this exception.
Don't sing along.
Correct. Bamed dvar mamurim kishe becheder ambacha ein shom beis akise. That's where there's no toilet in the shower or bath. Avol miyeshem beis akise asur. But if there is, then it's prohibited. Lefi shegam bebata kise shel zmanenu shebederach klal heim nekiyim asur lahar bedivrei Torah. Because even in our bathrooms, which are generally clean, nonetheless hirhur is Asur. It's interesting because that's not entirely the Gemara's case. Based on Kisa Shel Parsoim, the Persians apparently had a system whereby their outhouses had flushing capabilities. Everything would be erased by pipes, unlike the common outhouse. So a Beis HaKisa Shel Parsim is really permissible. Nonetheless, we're machmir not to allow any type of Dvarasha B'Kdusha, even though it is clean. So there, also L'Harba Divrei Torah. But if, let's say, you had a separate bath, I mean, a separate bath and a separate room for the toilet, Mistam, according to Chamavadja, should be mutter them. V'chein beis merachat she misrachat zim sham rabim, also harbi divrei Torah, mito cheder apnimi shebo misrachat zim, nefishe zoame. So too, in a beis merachat, in a public bathhouse, a mikvah, for example, so there you couldn't be mahar in divrei Torah in the place where people are actually bathing, because then if they're bathing, forget mikvah, let's say it's a bathhouse, then it's filled with filth, perspiration, people washing themselves, so therefore that itself will render the place unfit for Dvar Mishnah
B'Kedusha. Wait, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You say people are washing themselves, and in your own bathtub, you're not washing yourself.
Right, well apparently, many people adds a different dynamic to it. All right. Many people, if there are many people, then that's already different. Nefisha zohame means there's an excess. There's a lot. V'gemar mevora, she'isru likor kriyashma k'neged erva kaim gam kasher yesh hefsek ben adam le'erva achi eino monat et ha're'iyas. And now we come to an interesting case. So one din is erva. There's a separate din of tzoa. Tzoa means you can't, tzoa is excrement. You can't say kriyashma or dvar mishnah b'kedusha within Dalet Amos, or within Re'iya. Okay, certainly not if it's Re'ach. Smell. Erev, Zagmar Brachos, Daf Chafei, Amit Beis. Erev HaBashashis. Let's say you see Erev through a glass, through the looking glass. Also Likros Kriyashma Kenegdos. He can't say Kriyashma in front of it, because the Erev is seen. Tsoa HaBashashis, but if you have Tsoa in a glass, meaning encased in glass, Muta Likros Kriyashma Kenegdo. Because tzoa, the isser of tzoa is dependent on its exposure, all right? But so if it's closed, if it's covered, then it's permissible. Erva bashosh is also the Kriyas Shema b'kenegdo, but erva that's encased in glass, what's encased in glass? It's through a window, for example. Then we still say v'lo yirbach erev ervas davar amar chumana v'hokem mischazio. So you see that the chiluk bein tzoa le'erva hu shabaya b'tzoa hi etzem giluya b'fnei adam v'zeh davar bazui. The problem with the tzoa is its exposure, meaning if it's not seen but exposed. All right, if it's exposed, then it's davar bazui. It's something that's degrading to say dvar mishnah b'kedusha in front of a kriyashma. Ach kasher yish kisui kol shehu, if there is any type of covering, means no longer exposed. Gam mushakuf, even if the covering is transparent, like glass. Zekvar lo bizayon, that's no longer considered degrading. Look, it's not an optimal situation, but it's no longer considered degrading, and certainly we're assuming there's no reach either. Amna. However, the problem with erva is bekasha odom roeh osa. Erva is not a din in exposure, it's a din in visibility. If you could see it. If you could see it, gam kasher yesh kisui shakuf, even if it's a transparent cover, osherosa derech mare, you see in a mirror, meaning you're not looking at it live, so to speak, you're looking at its reflection. Nonetheless, you still see it. Adayin asulik ros kenegdo, mishum shi nires. That's the difference in tzoa and erva. Tzoa is a din in exposure. As long as, whenever it's not exposed anymore, even if it's visible, so it's mutter to recite Kriya Shema in front of it. As opposed to Erva, there the din is visibility. And that's the halacha, it's an ayin hay. Erva ba'shoshes, v'ros ha'derech dafnosel, you have Erva through glass, and you see it through the sides, also likros kenegdo, dichsiv v'lo yir b'cha ervas dovah, v'ho mischazah, exactly what the Gemara said. Now the Gemara here adds, as does the Shulchan Aruch, the famous dinim of women and erva. All this in the context of recitation of Kriyashma. It's the Gemara Brachos Daf Chavdalet Amud Aleph. Omer Bitzchak, Tefach Beisha Erva. A tefach, just a hand breath of a female, is considered erva, at which it's impermissible to look, to gaze. So the Gemara asks Lamaid, what are we talking about? Ilei molestakule ba, if it's to actually stare at it, then Vamar Rav Sheshes, Lama mona akosav tachshitim shebechutzim tachshitim shebefnim, Lama lachab. Kala mistakel be'etzba katana shel ishok ilei mistakel b'makam ha-torev. The Torah at the end of Bamidbar is talking about the, I think it's talking about the spoils of Midjan, and it mentions different types of jewelry. So why is it linked together? Things that are visible on the outside and things that were worn inside are the covered parts of the body, to teach us that whoever gazes at even the pinky of a woman in Otav Hano, it's as if he's looked at her private parts. So the Gemara says, Tefach b'isha erva is a din here, be'ishto v'lekriyashma. It applies to his wife and to the recitation of kriyashma. That's the context. Now the other two similar contexts, Amar Rav Chisto, shok b'isha erva, the thigh of a woman, also is erva, shenemar galei shok ivri naharos, uchsiv tigaler vascho v'gam terecher pascho. Reveal your thigh, those who you who cross the rivers, reveal your nakedness, your shame is also then seen by others. What's interesting about it is the pasuk in context is talking about Bavel, it's talking about non-Jews, how the Babylonians will be brought down from their haughty state, and even the women will be degraded like this. But nonetheless, it's considered has general applicability to us. So that's shok. Shok, again, is the thigh. It's normally covered. We could even say any place above the knee. Amar Shmuel, kol be'isha erva, shenemar, ki kolech arev umarech noveh. The sound, the voice of a woman, is erva as well. Amar Sheshes, sear be'isha erva, the hair of a woman is considered erva, shenemar sarech ke'eder ha'izim. So all these things are attractive. All these things have seductive qualities. Now here's the question that of course people wrestle with today, not that they haven't for a few thousand years now. There would seem to be a difference between the shok and the kol and the sayar and other parts of the body. So what is the difference? Okay, so the difference, I'll just say orally and then we'll see it inside. What we call erva is a din in lo yirbacha ervas davar, meaning the certain parts of the body that cannot be seen simply because those are the parts of the body that civilized people generally cover. But there are other things, and that's not a din in hirhur. That's a din in hirhur means that which will lead to licentious thoughts. The other parts of the body, so those parts of the body that are normally covered, that's not a din in hirhur. That's a din in erva mamish. You just can't look at it because it's erva mamish. But there are other parts of the body or aspects of a woman, say, that are usur to look at or to listen to, not because they're erva mamish, let's say objective erva, but because they induce hirhur. They're enticing to men. And therefore, a woman should not put herself in a position where men are gazing at her. She shouldn't tempt men to gaze at her. But that's what we call subjective erva. It's erva not inherently, only subjective, because you see, in all these cases, you have to take kol, for example. It's only the singing voice. It's not a conversational voice. Even seor, the seor of an unmarried woman is going to be permissible, as opposed to that of a married woman. So those are contextual, but nonetheless, the key is that all of them generate hirur. So the Mishnah Berurah says, we should really read the, go to 31st, he reversed the order. Tefach b'isha megula, siman ayin hei, at the beginning. A revealed tefach in a woman, b'mokam shadarka l'chasosa, in a place that's normally covered, afilu hi ishto, even his wife.
What about women who cover their whole body?
Okay, and? Burka ladies.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the chassidus are ladies. I mean, it's just different levels. what it's
right.
saying.
Well, the question you're asking then is, can you have an extension of Darka L'Chasosa in areas that are not generally covered? In other words,
I mean, some people are covered the whole body.
Yes, that's correct. So, in fact, I remember Rav Aviner dealt with this question about women and stockings. All right, do women have to wear stockings? So he said, it depends. If you're living in Mea Shearim, then you have to, because there it's Darka L'Chasosa. If you're living elsewhere, then you don't have to, because it's not a place of even subjective erva.
That doesn't make sense. That
tell me why.
Rome, who has the Romans, but that doesn't. That's not. The
yes, because you can't violate this. In other words, if you want to live in let's say Nutley, okay, in Nutley, so there. You need something? If you want to live in Nutley and they don't cover their feet there, they don't wear stockings, but you choose to do that on your own, you can always achieve a higher standard. That's fine. But if you're living in Mea Shearim and you choose to utilize a lower acceptable standard, that's correct. There's a problem with that.
So you can take that to the next degree also.
Which is what?
If you cover your hair.
Right.
And in Mea Shearim, the women don't only cover their hair, but they put a cover on top of the sheitel.
Right.
It means if you come to Mea Shearim, you have to wear cover on top of your shape,
right?
Because you're in
Mayshaw. So, Abi, what you're asking are some of the questions that people deal with today that don't have a firm resolution. All right, some would say yes, because that's the minhag makom, and others would say no, you can't just add to that. But that, in fact, was the chumra of the Chasam Sofer, and if a person chooses to live in such a place, you have to accept the chumras of the makom that you live in, or live somewhere else. So that becomes a problem. The problem is where you have people who don't want to accept that custom, or don't want to accept any custom, and they're living where they don't fit. You have to find a place that's matim. It's strange to sound, strange to say, but nonetheless it's true. You can't, if you go against the norms of your community, then you're going to run into trouble. Now, of course, if the norms of the community are below the line of halacha, then that's just too bad. You have to then defy them and go above them. But if the norms of the community are above the line of halacha, from a realistic perspective, you'd have to follow them. Now, take your question to the next level. What if it's part of Mea Shearim where they shave their heads? I'd do that also. All right? Rav Moshe dealt with this in a famous tshuva. All right, there's a guy, I think it was, no, it was a woman, it was a second marriage. A woman was Hungarian. And she wanted to shave her head, and the husband didn't want her to. All right? Why, I don't know. But he didn't want her to.
Why did he marry her?
Whatever. Apparently she had a full head of hair when he married her.
He was a barber.
So Moshe said, no, she shouldn't shave her head, notwithstanding that's the meaning of the place where she's from, because he's not on that madriga. She has to look attractive for her husband, so she shouldn't do it. I think it was the case. I may have the husband and wife mixed up, but I think that was the case, where she wanted to and her husband did not want her to. Why? So again, that chumra of the Chasam Sofer of the Hungarians is, even the double covering, is very hard to square with the essential halacha. There's no other way to say that. It's very hard to square with the essential halacha. Now, there's only one case in the Torah where, it's not even a normative case, where you find a woman shaving her hair. Shaving her head. What's that? Nazir's Mitzorah. No, the Shivya, the Yifas Tohar. Vigilchos Rosha. That's where you find Giluch HaRosh. So it's meant to degrade her. It's considered degradation. Now, I came up with a Chiddush a number of years ago. I remember discussing this on a Friday night. Why would the Chasam Sofer have done such a thing? All right. So my Chiddush was, and it's completely unsourced, rank speculation, is that, well, he was living in a time where the women stopped covering their hair. There's one way to keep them covering their heads. That's to shave their heads. Then they want to put something on top. So he made the norm of his community shaving the head. This always makes sure they would keep their heads covered. But that's something that is really beyond what the halacha requires. So you could say that even the double covering might be in the same category. I'll tell you the different views on it. Some say that you really wouldn't have to, because it's not Mikra Din, and others say, no, you're defined by the chumras of the place you live. You don't have those chumras, so live somewhere else. That's your choice. So, afilu yishto. But here the point is that even if your wife has her has a part of her uncovered, which is ordinarily covered, also the girl's Kriya Shema connected. You can't say Kriya Shema in face of that. Now, let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah, one above in 29. B'makom shadakim neshezem mevi l'odom lidei hirikin shemistakel bo b'chal ervohi. See, he's actually a hard liner, so to speak, on these on this matter. The fact is, what the Chafetz Chaim did here was eviscerate my svara in distinguishing between erva, which is darkel chasosa, inherently asur in terms of lo yirbacha erva's davar, and the other parts where it's because of hirur. He says no, even these parts are because of hirur, which means he's not going to distinguish between objective and subjective erva, which is indeed the case. Let's see, Beis. Ser shel isha shadakel chasoso, os likros kenegdo. The hair of a woman, which is ordinarily covered, you can't say kriyashma in front of it either. Afilu ishto. I mean, if your wife covers her hair, or should cover her hair, she doesn't, then you can't say kriyashma in front of her uncovered head either. Mutar. But on the unmarried, never married, psulo, who generally go with uncovered heads, there it is permissible to say Kriya Shema in front of them. What's also mutar, the Ramah adds, is the hair of the woman that is generally uncovered, all right, which will not lead to heal her. So a woman's wearing a kerchief or a scarf and there's hair sticking out, or she's wearing a wig, all right, not her hair. So there we're not going to say that that is erva, even subjective erva, that would require covering and preclude the recitation of Kriya Shema.
Now, one could hardly say that Basulos who go out with hair uncovered, that's not going to bring you to heal.
Why not? Why not? Who says that? The fact is, that's the point. That's what the difference. So why psulos allowed? So the Rambam says, in fact, that psulos, when they reach a certain age, you see this in the Hasidic communities, they can only go out with kluos, braided hair. They can't let it. Pura means it's running free, you know, like out of a Clairol commercial, blowing in the wind. That you can't, that the Rambam says you can't have. But Lamaisa, most don't hold like the Rambam. But why then? It's a concession. What's the concession? They should be married. They should be married. Famous Truva, Rav Moshe had also, a woman in Almana asked, or a Grusha, can she not cover her hair for the purpose of dating?
Sure.
All right? Well, I say sure, it's not so obvious.
Sure. He said yes.
He said yes. Others say no, but it's not an obvious question.
Bringing up Moshe, he said yes.
I'm saying he said yes, but it's not so obvious why it should be. Because if you say that, then maybe she should dress provocatively. So you like it, but we have a Torah to deal with too. Kedoshim Tiyu, you didn't get to that parsha yet. The fact is that there's grayness in the area also. There's room for flexibility. We'll see even more, but that's what Rav Moshe says. By the way, some women take this to mean that therefore once they're divorced or widowed, they need not cover it altogether, which is totally false, because that's the Shulchan Aruch in Vanessa, that they have to cover their hair anyway, once they've been married. So too, Yesh li zor mishmias kol zemer isha b'shas kriyashma. You should also be careful not to hear a woman singing during kriyashma, afilu b'isha, even his wife singing. I will call her regular bo eno erva, but the regular conversational voice is not a problem. And you see here, this is also a much discussed area, because this is really the only context. I want another one also, but it's the primary context in which you find this concept of kol be'isha erva in terms of recitation of Kriya Shema. So there's a whole genre that says it only applies to Kriya Shema. But outside Kriya Shema, you know, kol isha is it's a big inyan, but in the instant context, it applies to Kriya Shema. Oh, so the extension is, if we're going to say that it causes hiur during Kriya Shema, a person, and therefore you can say Kriya Shema, which is the Raisa, Kabos Machos Shemayim, then Alachas Kama V'Kama, you're not going to be able to hear Kol Isha in other contexts where it'll be enticing as well. Now, or some will say, any context. What's that?
But that's a stretch. I mean,
It's not such a stretch, but I could. Right. It's not the essence. It's not the essence of halacha.
Right.
Ikkar din relates to Kriya Shema. That's correct. But it's not such a stretch. It's a natural extension, because once you're saying it causes hiror, and that's where you can say Kriya Shema. Well, if it's going to cause hiror, then you can't have any enjoyment from it in any context. But, and here's the other consideration that's wrestled with consistently in our day, does it mean any type of kol zemer isha, or does it mean only a kol zemer isha that is going to be enticing? Enticing can take on a number of different contexts. It's a long debated area about opera, all right? Baruch Hashem, I've never seen an opera, and I'm not about to start, and the reason nothing to do with kol isha. But there are many people who permitted it, because it's not a situation of hear whore. There's very little that's going to happen that's going to attract the man.
Depends on the opera.
Depends on the opera. I guess depends on who's singing also. Right. You add to that the people matir voices that are not live on the radio, taped, etc. And on the third hand, there are those who say that if you see the woman, even if it's not live, then also will do service. So there are many different shitas in this area, but we should never lose sight of the fact the initial din is in the context of Kriya Shema and nowhere else. Now the question is, what if you find yourself in a situation, bidiavad, there's a woman in front of you, all right? Can you say Kriya Shema? So Mishnah Berura says, quotes the Prima Gadim, linim bidiavad, im tzarch lachas over likros kamalin erva gemura. So if you're in front of erva gemura, right, then you have to say Kriya Shema again. What about if it's these other ervos? Uvedar chachaim mashma dafilu b'diavad tzarch lachas over likros. Derachaim says yes, you have to say it again. If there's a woman with uncovered head, that's why it's a big Indian in shul. People always makpidos in shul, women. All right, so that's an issue in our context, because the women are in back of us, and if a man wants to look, he has to turn around. So the manuvels turn around. It's not worrying about whether it's b'dievet or l'chatchila. But nonetheless, mikol makom, he continues, nearly d'kashalon niskavin l'stakel ein l'hachem b'dievet l'achs v'likros af pishacheres, that if you have no intention to gaze, to stare, then you're not Mahmoud Yevit, even if it's another woman, not your wife. And keep in mind another critical point that people don't seem to grasp as often as they should. What does lehistakel mean? Lehistakel doesn't mean to see. Lehistakel means to gaze, to stare. But when we say also lehistakel, call him istakel bet spaktana, it means a person is staring, gazing, not just seeing agavurcha. That's not the same thing. So people walk on streets, you know, and walk into lampposts so as not to have to look at a woman. That's not what we're talking about here, because in any event, that would be re'iya, and if there's hana involved, it's hana bal karcha, so it's not really an issue, but go fight City Hall. So the Mishnah Berurah distinguished between the two shitos, and he concludes, b'diavad, you don't have to go and say it again. Nira kinitan lavin et egeyon avachar zo, apiyaz barash Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, in his truvas, arach mishpat siman yutes, explains it as follows. Ukefi anir linias daiti, matachat lashon arambam, deish chilok ben erva mamish, uvein isur erva. So the Rav Kook really disagrees with the Chafetz Chaim's mahalach. There's a difference between erva mamish and the iser erva. The gufa isha shenikra erva, atam vade ikr tamo havi mishum hirur. The gufa isha is erva, and that's a din in hirur as well, because that's what's most enticing. Al kain katav to the keneged erva osur atche yachzir ponov. If there's erva in front of you, you have to turn away. It's not enough to close your eyes. Erva mamish, you have to turn away from it.
What's the difference if you close your eyes, if you turn away?
That's the difference. Because you have to do a demonstrable act to separate yourself from the erva. Erva can't be in your line of sight, even if your eyes are closed. But it's erva mamish. Ula kamon gabe kol gufo isha erva Kosov shall yistakel, mashma kosher mistakel shaper dam. If you're not gazing, it's fine. Al kainira degabe erva mamish lo mahane atzimat einayim. If it's erva mamish, it's not enough just to close your eyes. Avo be erva de isha mishum hero mahani vade atzimat einayim. But if it's just an in of hero, like kol and sayar and shok, then atzimat einayim would work. In a general sense, we say that atzimat einayim is the ticket. A person's making kiddush, for example, and let's say the women there's hair is not covered. Atzimat einayim is the best approach. Close your eyes. Nehi avar hashulchan in siman ayin hey sifav kasu rosein abal shulchan aruch. Ser shalisha shadak lechasos also krosa kenegda afilu ishto abusul shadak lelos pros harosh mutar putin sar shal noshim shergilim lotzeis chutz l'tamason and peyad nochers as well. Vizeshin is zbar be'evan ha'ezer simin chaf alef degam penuyos loyecho begilui rosh zel bibaulos kemal monos v'grushos v'lo besulos. When the mechaber in Evan Ezra speaks about penuyos covering the hair, so he means penuyos single women, not never married women. Single meaning they are now unmarried, widowed or divorced. V'yesh mi shekasav da psul teich kishesara says thuros v'lo kluos, and that's based on the Rambam that they need kluos braided. V'yesh omid bechatzir mutars kol hashem gam anasuz lepigil rosh. Some say chatzir, they're permitted to have uncovered hair. What's a chatzir? It's the private property in their house, in their backyard, etc. That's the Gemara in the Ksuvos of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. When they're in the private domain, so they don't have to cover their hair. As the Gemara says, "Im kain leinachta bas laver mavinu shoshevas tachas bailo." If they have to cover their hair inside their own homes, then everyone, it's permanent, and that you don't find. Although, as we know, the Gemara Yoma discusses kimchis, so the Gemara praises her for covering her hair even inside the home, and she was zochah to have six or seven sons who are kohanim gedolim. All right. Now, even that requires some limud. What's the schus? It would mean that they died, right? One after that's not just such a schus. So it's interpreted to mean that no, let's say the brother became temporarily puzzle, and so someone, his brother, had to fill in for him. So it means seven who served as kohanim gedolim. Now, but nonetheless, the Zohar is makpid on the women covering the inside. And you find, yeah, in the Haredi world, that's very common. But that to make her din is unnecessary. This I discussed in a shiur many, many years ago. And you see, is it possible to, let's say a private home that you turn into a public place. What's that? Guests. All right. Mikra din is a woman obligated. She's home. So a postman comes to the door. Shall he cover her hair? Mikra din not. She's in her chatzir. Still a private place. But if she brings people into her home, she could argue. Two men, three men, then already it's a quasi-public place, and she would have to cover her hair as well. And some say no. The p'tur of chatzir is a general p'tur. Now you come to the very famous, almost infamous statement of the Aruch HaShulchan, misconstrued by many who should know better. Va'ata bo siv zayin, bo netzaveach al pirtzos doreinu v'avodaseinu harabim. Now let's come and scream over the breaches in our generation. Shezeh shonim rabo shenifritzu benos yisrob avon zev ahochos begili harosh. Now it's many years that Jewish daughters are the sin has spread and they're walking with uncovered heads. V'choma shetzaku alze hu lo le'ezev l'hoel. And the rabbis can scream, doesn't help. V'ato pasasa mispachas, now the disease has spread. Shenesuos hachos b'saros sankama psulos. Oy lanosh also be'amenu kach. Now even the married women walk as if they're single, unmarried, never married, virgins. Woe to us that our generation has come to this level. Miu. But, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, and this is Chiddush, that based on that, we have to evaluate. Al koponim ladino, nira shemuta lono spal uvarach neged rashein hamagulos. If that would be the case, we would no longer define it as subjective erva that would preclude the recitation of Kriyashma in front of it. Why? Because now it's not, and that happens to be true, when you're saturated in erva, it's no longer enticing. So if all you see is the hair of women, it's no longer enticing. V'kevan she'ata ruban hochos kach v'hava kimekomo samegulim begufa. It becomes now like any other exposed part of the body, which is not mahar hair. All right, so he says, based on that, you should be able to say brachos and kriyashma and davin, etc. And based on this etter, even shuls v'mechita side by side, it's not such a problem. Or even at a table where you're making kiddush or saying brachos, it's not such a problem. The reason why I say it's infamous is that I tell you that people quote this Aruch HaShulchan as meaning that therefore, because women have stopped covering their hair, therefore they no longer need to cover their hair. It's completely false. He's not saying that. Because you see, in Evan Ezra and Simon Chaf Aleph, he writes explicitly married women have to cover their hair. So one has nothing to do with the other. The truth is that the fact that married women have to cover their hair is not necessarily linked to the fact that Sarah Bisha Erva. It's two separate concepts. One's a din in Erva, and one is a din in the presentation of a married woman. Now here, Chacham Ovadia comes to a very interesting conclusion. All right, so Sif Gimel in the Yalkut Yosef, so that we did already. He says, though, unlike the Aruch HaShulchan, that in a place where Rov HaNashim Malchot Bereshus HaRabim Bevigdei Pritzus, the Lo Sharva Lim Chadome, women are walking around half-dressed, no sleeves, etc., then you can't say brachos, you can't say kriyat shema. Ein chilek bazeh ben hazmanim v'kamos. No difference in place and time, it's all the same. V'zeh rak kishetzada elyon shal zera megula. Only the upper arm, the elbow, below the elbow doesn't matter. All right? Dalid, you can say kriyat shema in front of the place that ordinarily revealed, face and hands. But look at Vav. Tefach megula be'isha shenir derech ha-televizyo. What if you see a woman on television? Can you say Kriya Shema in front of that? Now, again, we leave aside the question, why is one saying Kriya Shema in front of a television and not in shul? But aside from that, does the same din apply? Now think again to the difference between Soa and Erva, all right? The din in Soa was a din in exposure. The din in Erva was a din in visibility, all right? Why is a television not in Ashoshes? A glass. You're basically looking at a woman through glass. Aye, she's two-dimensional instead of three-dimensional? Okay, that's a technical difference. In fact, that's what he says. If you see a tefach megul be'isha on television, os likra kriyashma levorach kenegdo, you can't say kriyashma or brachos. Shakosav hikbid al his staklus vareiya. Shenema v'lo yirbucha ervas davar mishum sha'ayin roa ayin roa v'alev chomed shadeh ra'iya boli dehiur. So you see, it's the exact same thing. Shen yetzer asholet el mashein of rose. If you see it, what's the difference whether you see it live or see it on television? Should be exact same thing. And now it compares it explicitly to the case of ashoshes to the glass. What about pictures? Not moving pictures like on television. What about still photographs? Okay. Yesh lahachmi, it's the end of Vav. Bazeh betmuna shemitzuyeres ba'isha begili zros v'chayot. Be the same thing. Picture be the same thing. Anything which is in the realm of re'iyah falls into the category of v'lo yirbacha ervas davar. All right. Finally, in this area, Ches, noshim shalov shows big day preaches simlo tzarot, lo shavalim, women wearing mini skirts, sleeveless, mutalikra kriyashma levar kenegda im otzeim einov okor metach ha-sefer. If you close your eyes or read from a sefer or turn your head, then it's all good. And now he addresses what is a problem that exists on occasion. V'chein rabbanim shemesadim chupa v'kidushin. You have the mesad kidushin. Umulei nehem nitzavot saviv v'chatan v'kala krovotem abab b'vigdei pritzus. You have the bride. You have the yeah. Don't mention it. You have the bride. You have the family. All right. V'hein chasuf etzavar. The necks are showing. Their arms are showing. Their heads are uncovered. Everything is visible. So how do they say birchas harrison? Ba'atzima seinayim. All right. You have to close your eyes, or even better, Tov Yoter Levorach Mitoch HaSidur, say from a sitter. So again, like the Aruch HaShulchan said, like Rav Kook said, Atzima Sanaim works with subjective erva, so therefore it doesn't work erva mamish, but subjective erva it would work. Okay. One other area, so now we also in the realm of Kiddush and Kriyashma, is the din of a Balkari. Balkari, not the Secretary of State, but Balkari, person who experiences Keri. See, here you have, and this I alluded to this at the very beginning, the Gemara Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Beis, Balkari Mahar Belibo. A Balkari, person who sees Keri, is allowed to recite Kriyashma Belibo when Zman Kriyashma comes. He can't enunciate the words from Takonas Ezra on. But he can be mahar in the words, ve'ena mevarach lo lefaneh v'lo l'achareh. He can't say bracha neither before nor after. So kriyas shema, he can say. Birchas kriyas shema, he cannot say. V'la mazon mevarach l'achareh ve'ena mevarach lefanav. Birchas amazon can say the bracha after, it's daraiso, but not before, derabanan. Kriyas shema is the same thing. Kriyas shema, it's daraiso. Brachas kriyas shema, derabanan. Rabbeinu says he could say all of it. Now, Rav brings down here, or cited in his Shiurim from Rav Reichman, an interesting concept. So you see that the Balkari's Mahar and Kriyashma, but Poalim, and the Balkari does not recite the Brachos, but the Poalim can recite Kriyashma and the Brachos as well. So what's the difference in the two? So he explains as follows, that Balkari also cannot say brachos, any brachos. What's the difference? So he says that a bracha, take a birchas mitzvah, a birchas mitzvah is a separate din. It's a matzah to do the mitzvah, but the brachas kriyashma not like that. Brachas kriyashma are an integral part of kriyashma because they define the essence of kriyashma. And the Rav explained that the three brachas kriyashma in the morning, they parallel three parshios. Yotzor, God's existence. Yichud Hashem, Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. Ava Rabba, Kabbalah Sator, Kabbalah Samitzvos. Geula, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what the brachos do are the brachos enhance the recitation of Kriyat Shema and define it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mevorach Lefnachrem, it means once you can say Kriyat Shema, you can say all of it because all of it's a package. The Tanna Kamma disagrees, and according to the Tanna Kamma, you cannot say the brachos. That since the brachos exist, since the Kriyat Shema exists in its own right as a deraisa, but not the brachos, since Chazal made a distinction between the two, so Balkari would not say them. All right. Lissikum, the Tanna Kamma holds Kriyat Shema har belibo, other brachos lo mevarach, even behir, birchas amaz mevarach, shechiv midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Balkari is mevarach, even brachos derabanan. Now, the Rambam, number 37, these days, we no longer follow Takanas Ezra. Takanas Ezra was that anyone who saw Keri, let's say a person had relations with his wife, he had to go to the mikveh before davening, learning Kriyashma, etc. Now, any Tomei is allowed to say Kriyashma, say brachos, afal pishev shalin lalos mitomasam bo bayam kosha anogam asharatsu benidu vizavo umishkav kiyotzvan. Even they go to the mikveh, you're good. Ezra beis dino tikkun sheyikra balkari levadim and shar tomei machiyitbo. Ezra is mesakein, he should not say, do anything holy until tevila v'lo poshta takana zo b'chol Yisrael. This takana never spread amongst the Jews. V'lo b'koach l'rova tzibur l'amod ba, people could not withstand it. L'fichach batla, therefore, kfar nagu kol Yisrael l'kros batar, l'kros kriyashman balikaryon, l'fishayin divrei Torah mekam tuma, el omdin b'tarason l'olam. What was the gzeres? Mechaber says in Peches, the gzera was, the takanas Ezra was, in order to limit marital relations. Shaloyu tamidei chacham mitzvin etzun nishasem kitarna golem. So tamidei chacham should not be after the wise like roosters. They should have some self-control. And the people would know it's an inhibition. But it never caught on. And he says at the end that these days, Hamidu Adavar Aladin, Shapakari Mutter Bedivrei Torah, Kriyashma Tvila, Belo Tvila, Uvalarachita Petisha Kavachim Poshat Haminog. Now, the Piskei Tshuvas notes, you see that there are people who go to mikveh every day, mainly in the Hasidic world. It became a thing. The Piskei Tshuvas is, of course, a chassid, and he wants to resurrect that minhag. And he says, the Rambam did it, everyone spoke highly of it, only problem was when there were no mikvahs, the rivers were cold, etc. But now it's different. Like the Rambam says in his Igros, he always was tovel. Now beautiful mikvos. Well, I don't think ours is for men apparently in Tinek, but nonetheless, you have mikvos, hot water, very clean. See, he says, "Itachen shechove himamish." It's an absolute obligation. V'chomishesh barech Torah makbed al tilazo. Anybody who has a rech Torah should do it. All right, that's what the Hasidim hold. It never really spread to the Masnagdic world, but nonetheless. Now, the Mechaber dismissed the notion of even requirement of Tisha Kabin, but here he takes up the Piskei Tshuvos does the din of Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin, pouring on yourself 9 measures of water may be a substitute for tevila b'mikvah, and this would be more common. What's 9 kabin? Look at 24 kvart. A kvart is what we call in English a quart. Uveshas adchak, 18 quarts. But the key point from our perspective is the very last line. V'chol ashir tes kabin tzrichin l'Israel malov lehevsek shoy be'emtza. The tes kabin have to flow upon you without any type of interruption. V'hiskimu gedolei adoras achronim kimat pe'echod shemoel taras tes kabin l'idei mama zormi miklachat af bi shen kan kli v'koch gavra. He says most achronim hold almost unanimously that taras tes kabin can be effectuated in a shower, because in a shave, a continuous flow of water, and of course more than 18 or 24 quarts of water that is falling on you, so therefore that would suffice as well. Would it suffice instead of tevila for a chassid? Yeah, but try to tell them that. They're not going to accept it. Okay. Finally, Asur in the Yalkut Yosef, Asur likros kriyas shema l'spal l'vorech makom sheikh reach ra. If there's a foul smell, and this we encounter, we don't usually encounter it except we're diving in a field, or occasionally have a child with a diaper in a shul, which is problematic. So he suggests that obviously if you can take the tzoa away, you have to try to somehow diffuse the reach ra. One way to do it, he says, is to light yisrof chatichat beged balui. You take a rag and light it on fire, and the smoke from the rag will diffuse the foul odor, if it doesn't burn down the place altogether. But there are other things to do, and he says, Yizalef mevradim, samim, tabavir, you have rose water, perfume, scent, you have to spray, you need a rech tov. The point is, if there's a rech ra, you can't daven there. The din of vayam machanecha kadosh, your camp should be holy, certainly the place where you daven should be holy as well. Those are some of the dinim of the kedusha that's required of the gavra when reciting Kriyat Shema. Next week, we move on to the next area, which is Shmon Esrei, tefillah. And I look forward to seeing all of you then. Thank you all very much. All right.